As 9/11 metaphors go, the one in the conservative Claremont Review of Books in early September, the Flight 93 election, has to go down as a classic. Under a dorky pen name, conservative intellectual Michael Anton argued that Hillary Clinton was the Flight 93 piloted by maniacs bent on destroying America, and electing Donald Trump was the storming of the cockpit. But instead of crashing, in this metaphor, Flight 93 is piloted heroically out of danger. Michael Anton wrote this view of the Trump revolution, arguing that something has to stop, quote, the ceaseless importation of third world foreigners with no tradition of, taste for, or experience in liberty. Michael Anton is now a powerful member of the National Security Council, whose job it is to make coherent a so far hard to decipher foreign policy. Anton loves Machiavelli, by the way, and philosopher Leo Strauss. They both believe power trumps everything to maintain an ideal society. Tina Nguyen profiled Michael Anton for Vanity Fair's Hive, and she sees his impact and fingerprints on lots of the confusing rhetoric coming out of the White House.
Michael Anton has the clout of conservative intelligentsia behind him. When you were looking at the Reagan administration, he had National Review, Weekly Standard. Bush was more Weekly Standard, actually. But if you want to have someone who can articulate the reason that conservative principles are completely in line with Trumpism, even though Trump sounds more populist and slightly more socialist, if you want to argue that, then you look to Michael Anton. You look to the people who wrote in this defunct academic journal called the Journal of American Greatness, which was all synonymous authors writing very academic intellectual arguments for why Trump is perfectly okay and Trump is acceptable.
And if we come from the very famous piece that Michael Anton wrote for the Claremont Journal, that
Claremont
Review of Books that really got him on the radar, is that Trump is okay because he blows everything up. That's as much the issue as anything about Trump. That if Trump was another kind of blunt instrument, that would work just as well, except Trump, because it takes down the establishment, including Hillary Clinton.
Pretty much, yeah. The way that Anton framed it in this essay was, Hillary Clinton will definitely destroy America, full stop. She'll turn it into this administrative state where she will let more immigrants in and dilute American values.
And she compared it to Flight 93, the 9/11 flight that didn't make it to Washington.
Yes. And you either charge the cockpit or you die. That is a direct quote.
So does Anton believe that Trump is the future, or does Anton believe that Trump will permit Anton and his ideological cronies to actually run things?
I asked this question to Anton, and he said that his viewpoint and Trump's viewpoints do align, except that Trump is not as academically articulate as he is. I mean, that he defers to Trump. Trump is his boss. Anton has been a speechwriting communications professional for years, and I've never got the impression that he would try to bend his boss's agenda to his whim. It's just that they happen to overlap. Their ideas just happen to overlap completely.
Who found Anton and thought, oh, he'd be perfect in the National Security Council?
Peter Thiel, actually.
The billionaire Silicon Valley conservative.
Yes, the one who supports Donald Trump and just like shocked everyone when he came out and said, hey, you know what? Trump seems to be great and could possibly help me implement my ideas for libertarian utopia.
And so Thiel said, but Trump needs some seasoning, needs some intellectual heft, and Anton is the guy for that.
Well, Anton does have experience on the National Security Council. He wrote speeches for Condoleezza Rice. He was there for a lot of the Bush administration time. And between then and now, he had some sort of anti-elitist awakening, as it were. But he and Thiel actually go way back. He told me that he met Peter Thiel when he, Anton, was an undergraduate at Berkeley and Thiel was at Stanford Law. And I assume that back in the day when you're a bunch of conservatives in the Bay Area and everyone's just bearing down on you, you kind of find your way to hang out. They lost touch over the years. And then when Thiel found that he was the author of this essay, he introduced Anton to the Trump transition team. the Trump Tianjin team had already appointed Monica Crowley to take Anton's position. Then she got kicked out because of a plagiarism scandal, and Anton got brought in. And Anton just happens to have a lot of experience as a speechwriting professional, a lot of experience working on national security, and he also has this ideology. It's just a perfect storm.
Is Anton there to push a particular national security agenda, or is his skill in taking what seems a little chaotic coming out of the White House and turning it into some coherent message?
I would definitely say it's the latter. The point of the position on the National Security Council is to serve as a clearinghouse for all the messaging coming from all these different departments, largely state, defense, and all of the intelligence community's messaging. So, of course, you have things like, okay, what are the spokespeople at any given time going to say from these agencies? What are the ambassadors going to say? And then, like, smaller things, too. I spoke to someone who served on the Obama administration's National Security Council, and the best way you could describe it is that Anton has Ben Rhodes' position. Ben was the communications manager for the National Security Council, and he infamously became notorious for bragging that he had packaged the messaging that sold the American public and the international community on the benefits of the Iran nuclear deal. So that gives you an idea of the scope of what Anton could do.
He's known for his great suits. What's to say he's just collecting a paycheck and buying more expensive suits, and he's going to be out with the next sort of round of, turnover in the Trump administration?
Well, he was making a lot of money before that. He was he worked at BlackRock Capital and managed a lot of money. And he could have been just happily making his money, buying his suits, buying a 600-bottle wine collection, which he does have. And you don't really make that much money as a public servant, even for a high-placed position in the National Security Council.
So he's got a mission here.
He's got a mission here. He could have been a member of the elite, but he said to me, there's something wrong with society. I could either speak out or I could just, you know, bury my head and be a rich elite intellectual thinker for the rest of my days. But I decided I'm going to say something radical. And the moment that the administration offered him a position, he took it.
Tina Nguyen is the staff reporter for Vanity Fair's Hive. Thanks so much, Tina.
Thank you for having me.